Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going deep, and I mean deep, into some books you might not have on your nightstand right now.
Yeah, we're talking about 1 Esdras, Ben Sira, and 1 and 2 Maccabees.
All part of that collection known as the Apocrypha.
Right. Think of it as like bonus content for your Bible.
Exactly. And it's a gold mine of history and thought from those fascinating few centuries between the Old and New Testaments.
A really turbulent time, too. You know, empires rising and falling, cultural clashes. The Jewish community was really wrestling with some huge questions.
Questions about identity, about faith, about how to resist when everything around you is changing.
All of that is packed into these books.
So let's kick things off with 1 Esdras.
Sounds good.
Now, you've probably heard the stories from Chronicles, Ezra, and Nehemiah.
Yeah, the exile to Babylon, the return, rebuilding the temple. It's all pretty epic stuff.
But 1 Esdras, it gives us a different angle on those same events.
A bit like a director's cut of a movie.
With some added scenes, even.
Oh, definitely. And one of the most interesting is this story, the contest of the 3 bodyguards.
Oh, yeah, that one's great. 3 bodyguards of King Darius get into this debate. What's the most powerful force in the world?
One says it's the king, obviously.
Makes sense, right? He's a bodyguard.
Another one argues for wine, its power to intoxicate and control people.
Strong contender.
But the winner, Zerubbabel, he says it's truth. Truth conquers all.
Powerful stuff.
And unique to 1 Esdras. You won't find this story anywhere else.
So why include it? What's the point?
Well, think about who Zerubbabel is.
He's the one who led the return from exile.
Exactly. And oversaw the rebuilding of the temple. So portraying him as this champion of truth, well, it elevates his status.
Shows what kind of leader he was.
And it underscores the importance of truth as a guiding principle for the entire community.
It's a message that definitely still resonates today.
Oh, absolutely, especially in our age of fake news and misinformation. The idea that truth has this inherent power, that it can overcome obstacles and ultimately prevail, it's a powerful message.
And speaking of messages, it's interesting how 1 Esdras, it kind of rearranges the biblical narrative we're used to.
Right. It puts Zerubbabel front and center.
Yeah.
And the whole rebuilding of the temple, that becomes super important.
Why would the author do that? What do you think?
I think it has a lot to do with lineage. Zerubbabel, remember, he's a descendant of David.
That's right, the royal line.
And by emphasizing that, the author is subtly reinforcing the importance of the Davidic line in the restoration of Israel. It's like saying, look, God's promises are still being fulfilled even after all this turmoil.
So it's about hope then.
Absolutely. And also about identity. You have to remember the historical context here. This is the Second Temple period. The Jewish community was surrounded by all these different cultures and influences.
Trying to hold on to who they were.
Exactly. So this focus on genealogy, on the holy seed of Israel, it reflects those anxieties. They're trying to solidify their identity to draw a clear line between themselves and everyone else.
It's a theme that pops up again and again throughout history, doesn't it? Trying to maintain your unique identity when everything around you is pushing for assimilation.
It's a universal struggle. Mm-hmm. And we see it play out in a fascinating way in the book of Ben Sira.
Also known as Ecclesiasticus, right?
Yep, that's the one. And it gives us this amazing glimpse into a wise teacher trying to guide his students in a world that's changing fast. This is the rise of Hellenistic culture. Greek ideas, practices, it's all pouring into Jewish society.
So how does Ben Sira deal with that? He's got to be walking a tightrope, right? Between tradition and these new influences.
He does a pretty amazing job, actually. He advocates for remaining faithful to Jewish law, the core of their identity. But at the same time, he recognizes the value of learning from other cultures. He's not afraid to say, hey, there's wisdom to be found out there. Let's not be closed off to it.
It's a lesson we could all take to heart, I think.
Yeah, it's about finding that balance, holding on to what's essential to who you are, but also being open to growth and new perspectives.
And what always gets me about Ben Sira is his view on keeping the law. He actually believes it's possible.
Right. It's a very different take compared to, say, Paul in the New Testament.
Paul's much more like, hey, it's impossible to follow the law perfectly, so we need grace.
Exactly. But Ben Sira's coming from a different place. He's got this optimistic view of human nature. He thinks we can do it. We can live up to God's expectations.
It's a fascinating contrast, that's for sure. And it shows you that even within Judaism, there were all these different interpretations of what the law meant, how it should be lived out.
It's not this monolithic thing, right? There's nuance, there's debate, there's evolution of thought. And that's what makes studying these texts so rewarding.
Totally agree. And it's not all just about rules and regulations with Ben Sira either. He finds this amazing beauty in ritual.
Oh, yeah, his description of a temple sacrifice. It's poetry. He's not just going through the motions. He's experiencing this profound spiritual connection.
It's a reminder that ritual, it's not just about outward actions. It's about what's happening inside. The awe, the reverence, that sense of connecting with something much bigger than yourself.
And that's a human need that transcends any specific religion or culture, wouldn't you say?
I think so. From ancient temple sacrifices to, I don't know, lighting candles on a birthday cake rituals are how we make meaning, how we connect with something beyond the everyday.
They give us a way to express what words can't always capture.
So speaking of connecting with something bigger, our next stop takes us to a period of intense upheaval and conflict, the world of the Maccabees.
Now we're getting into some high-stakes drama.
The Jewish community facing this huge threat, not just from outside, but from within, too.
Right. The Seleucid Empire bearing down on them. And within Jerusalem itself, these internal divisions, these different visions for the future.
You can practically feel the tension building. It's like a powder keg waiting to explode.
And explode it does. The Maccabean Revolt is a turning point in Jewish history.
And it all starts with one family, the Maccabees, standing up for their faith, for their freedom.
Against all odds. It's a story of courage, resistance, and ultimately, triumph.
So buckle up, everyone, because we're about to dive deep into the world of the Maccabees. Okay, so we've got Jerusalem, right? It's like a pressure cooker.
Yeah, a lot of heat coming from outside, but also some serious bubbling going on inside.
External pressure from the Seleucid Empire, and then all this internal conflict within the Jewish community.
You know, it's interesting, though, because the Seleucid Empire, it wasn't always, like, totally against Jewish practices.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there was Antiochus III. He ruled before all this crazy stuff we're about to talk about. He actually said, yeah, you guys can keep doing your own thing, follow your own laws.
So what changed?
Well, that's where those internal conflicts start to really matter.
So the drama unfolds.
Right. You've got the Onayads, like the traditional high priestly family. And then you have these up-and-comers, the Tobiads.
New kids on the block.
Yeah. And they're a lot more, shall we say, open to Hellenistic culture.
So more Greek influence, less traditional Jewish ways.
Exactly. And all this is happening, you know, while the Seleucid Empire is looming over everything.
So classic power struggle.
For sure. And the Tobiads, especially these guys, Simon and Menelaus, they're really good at playing the game.
Working the system.
Yeah. Cozying up to the Seleucid rulers, you know, trying to advance their own interests. But, and here's the kicker.
Uh-oh. I feel like this isn't going to end well.
You're right. Their ambitions, they kind of backfired. Big time.
How so?
Well, by trying to secure their own positions, they basically ended up making their own people more vulnerable to outside forces.
Classic case of unintended consequences.
Yeah. And it really shows you how dangerous internal divisions can be, especially when you're dealing with a powerful empire breathing down your neck.
Do you have like a specific example of how this vulnerability played out?
Oh, absolutely. There's this story about a guy named Heliodorus.
Heliodorus? What did he do?
Well, he was basically trying to raid the temple treasury.
Whoa, bold move.
Yeah, and guess who gave him the idea? Simon, one of the Tobiads. He was hoping to score some points with the Seleucid king.
So he throws his own people under the bus to gain some political clout. Lovely guy.
Right. But here's the thing. According to 2 Maccabees, when Heliodorus actually got to the treasury, these angels showed up.
Angels.
Yep. Straight out of heaven, defending the temple, driving Heliodorus away. It's a pretty dramatic scene.
It's like divine intervention.
Right. And it really highlights how sacred the temple was to the Jewish people. Like, they were willing to defend it, even against overwhelming odds.
So this is like a turning point then.
Yeah, you could say that. It's this clash between those who want to exploit religious institutions for their own gain and those who are fiercely committed to protecting them.
A timeless struggle, really.
Oh, definitely. And things kept escalating from there. Then you have Jason coming onto the scene. He was a priest, but he was all about embracing Hellenistic culture.
So he's like, let's all be more Greek.
Pretty much. He implemented all these reforms, built a gymnasium, even tried to introduce a Greek-style constitution.
Trying to turn Jerusalem into a mini Athens.
Right. And while his intentions might have been good, he really triggered those who saw these changes as a threat to their traditional way of life.
They're like, hold on, we have our own culture, our own identity.
Yeah. And then comes Menelaus, another ambitious priest. He takes things even further. he starts pushing for religious reforms that were seen as, like, totally sacrilegious by many.
Crossing a line.
Big time. And this leads to what many scholars consider the first well-documented religious persecution in the ancient world.
That's a heavy statement. What does this persecution look like?
It was brutal. Mothers and infants killed, elders burned alive, all for refusing to abandon their faith.
Just horrifying.
Yeah. The accounts of martyrdom in 2 Maccabees are incredibly moving. It's both heartbreaking and inspiring to see the unwavering faith of these people, even in the face of such cruelty.
Their faith was stronger than their fear.
Absolutely. And it's against this backdrop of oppression that the Maccabean Revolt explodes onto the scene.
Finally, the rebellion we've been waiting for.
Yeah, and it all starts with Mattathias, a priest from Modin. He basically says, nope, I'm not doing it.
Not doing what?
Offering a pagan sacrifice. Antiochus had basically decreed that everyone had to do it, but Mattathias refused.
That took some serious guts.
He didn't just refuse. He actually killed the official who was trying to force him to do it and a Jewish collaborator who was going along with it.
Wow. Talk about taking a stand.
It was a spark that ignited the whole rebellion. Mattathias became this symbol of resistance, rallying others to his cause.
And then his sons, especially Judas Maccabeus, they pick up the torch. Right.
They do. And they lead this series of amazing victories against the Seleucid forces. I mean, these guys were seriously outnumbered, but they were determined.
It's like a David and Goliath story, but with a whole family of Davids.
And their victories, they weren't just about military strength. One of the brothers, Jonathan, he was a really skilled diplomat.
So brains and brawn.
Exactly. He understood how to play the political game, how to leverage rivalries within the Seleucid Empire to gain advantages for Judea.
Smart strategy.
Yeah, and eventually it's Simon, the last surviving brother, who achieves what everyone thought was impossible.
What's that?
He gets rid of the last Seleucid garrison from Jerusalem.
So after all that struggle, they finally get their independence.
They do. It was hard fought. A testament to the resilience and determination of the Jewish people. They were not going to give up their heritage, their faith, their homeland.
What an incredible story. And it's amazing how these books, 1 and 2 Maccabees, they capture all the drama, the twists and turns, the moments of both triumph and tragedy.
They really give you a sense of what it was like to live through this pivotal period in Jewish history, a period that shaped their identity and continues to inspire people to this day.
So as we're listening to all of this, what's really sticking out to you? What parts of the story are resonating most with you? I mean, we've got human nature, the fight for freedom, the power of faith. There's so much to unpack here. It's amazing to me how much is packed into these books of the Apocrypha.
I know, right? They're like these hidden treasures tucked away between the Old and New Testaments.
And the stories they tell, they're not just ancient history. They're about things that still matter today.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking about resilience, resistance, the search for meaning. These are timeless human experiences.
So let's try to put it all together. What are some of the key takeaways from our deep dive into 1 Esdras, Ben Sira, and 1 and 2 Maccabees?
Okay, well, starting with 1 Esdras, I think the way the author recenters the story around Zerubbabel and the rebuilding of the temple is really significant.
It's like he's saying, this is what matters. This is how we rebuild, how we move forward.
Exactly. And by emphasizing Zerubbabel's lineage, his connection to King David, it's reinforcing this idea that God's promises are still in play. Even after exile, even after devastation, there's hope for restoration.
It's a powerful message for anyone going through tough times, isn't it?
For sure. And then there's that amazing story, The Contest of the Three Bodyguards.
Oh, yeah. I love that one.
It's such a simple story, but it packs a punch. Truth conquers all. That idea has resonated through the centuries.
It's a good reminder for us today, too.
Definitely. Especially when we're bombarded with so much information, it's important to remember that truth matters. It has power.
Then we move on to Ben Sira, our wise teacher, navigating a world that's changing all around him.
Right. The rise of Hellenistic culture, Greek ideas and practices are flooding into Jewish society. It's a huge challenge.
And Ben Sira, he's trying to figure out how to hold on to tradition while also being open to these new influences.
It's a tightrope walk, for sure. And I think his approach is really relevant for us today. How do we stay true to our own values, our own identities, while also engaging with a world that's constantly evolving?
It's a question we all wrestle with, I think.
Yeah. And Ben Sira reminds us that it's not about being closed off or rigidly clinging to the past. It's about finding that balance, that middle ground.
And what's interesting to me is how Ben Sira views the law. He actually thinks it's possible to keep it.
Right. Which, like we said, is a very different perspective from what we see in the New Testament with Paul.
It shows us that even within Judaism, there was a lot of diversity of thought, different interpretations, different approaches.
It's not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. And that's something we often lose sight of when we're studying these ancient texts. We tend to oversimplify things.
But there's so much nuance, so
Yeah.
much complexity.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so fascinating.
Totally agree. And Ben Sira, he doesn't just focus on the law. He also has this beautiful appreciation for ritual.
His description of the temple sacrifice is incredible.
Yeah.
You can feel the awe, the reverence, the deep spiritual connection.
It's a reminder that ritual, it's not just about going through the motions. It's about tapping into something deeper, something that connects us to something larger than ourselves.
And that's something that resonates across cultures and time periods, wouldn't you say? That need to connect with something transcendent.
I think so. Whether it's through religious rituals or secular ones, we all have these ways of expressing our deepest beliefs and aspirations, of making meaning in a world that can often feel chaotic and unpredictable.
And speaking of chaos and unpredictability, we can't forget about the Maccabees.
Right, the story of their revolt against the Seleucid Empire, it's full of drama and intrigue.
It's a reminder that sometimes you have to fight for what you believe in, even when the odds seem stacked against you.
The Maccabees, they faced incredible challenges, oppression, persecution, internal divisions, but they never gave up.
And they ultimately triumphed. It's a story of resilience, courage, and the enduring power of faith.
And the fact that we have these different perspectives on the events through 1 and 2 Maccabees, it adds another layer of richness to the story.
We get to see how history can be interpreted in different ways, how different authors emphasize different aspects of the story.
It reminds us that there's not always a single definitive narrative, and that's okay. It's through exploring these different perspectives that we can gain a more complete understanding of the past.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the Apocrypha, I think the big question is, why should we care about these books? What can we learn from them today?
I think they offer us timeless wisdom, insights into human nature, into the challenges and triumphs of the human spirit. They invite us to think critically about our own values, our own beliefs, and how we navigate a world that's full of complexity and change.
They remind us that the search for meaning, the struggle for freedom, the power of faith, these are things that have resonated throughout history, and they continue to resonate with us today.
So I encourage you to keep exploring these texts. Delve deeper into the stories, the characters, the ideas, and see what speaks to you, what challenges you, what inspires you.
Thanks for joining us, and there's a deep dive into the Apocrypha. Until next time, keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep exploring.